last week, looking here at Babylon. And again, as I turn this on, as we go back here, looking at just quick review to catch us where we were. You know, the snake being prominent in Hinduism, the serpent prominent in voodoo worship in Africa, Haiti, and elsewhere. The throne of an ancient Hindu king in Kathmandu, intertwined with serpents from the back of the throne. There you see all the serpent heads. Shiva worship is closely associated with serpent worship. So this is all Babylonian worship, is serpent worship. It is, you could even say dragon worship, because that's what the serpent came from, a dragon. By the way, dragons really existed.
Amen.
All right, dragons are real. All right, we still have today dragons. Have anybody ever heard of the Komodo dragon? Okay, that thing's a dragon. You ever looked at that thing? I think those are the ones, if they bite you, you're dead. If they bite you, it's over. Like, there's nothing they can do for you. You will die a slow, painful death. I mean, have you ever watched Komodo dragons, like, get an ox or something? I mean, they'll just bite its heels, and there'll be like 20 or 30 of them around, and they will wait for days for that animal to die. And then they just go and start eating it after it dies. They'll just sit around and wait for it to die, because they know once they bite, the poison will get in. There's still dragons today, is my point. All right. So the serpent is also prominent in Buddhism. Here Buddha sits on the coiled naga or serpent and is shielded by its hood. Again, that just, the insanity of that. This is just where the world is at today, completely at peace, being right around the devil. Right where the devil's at. The devil's about to strike. I mean, when a cobra is opened up like that, that thing is about to kill you. It's about to strike and bite you. That's why they get up like that. But this guy, Buddha here, is perfectly at peace. Right there with the devil, sitting on the devil's lap. And that is the world today. And that's the deception of the world today. And we don't even realize it. I'm telling you right now, people do not realize the deception that is out there today. And they think they can play around with sin and it's not going to bite them. But I'm telling you, that's false. That's false. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 23, if you would. Proverbs 23. When you get there, say, Hagara Gandala. Man, you guys are getting good. All right. So like, what does that mean? Nothing. I don't know. I made it up. Actually, I heard someone else say it. They made it up, and I just copied it. All right, Proverbs chapter 23. Oh, I want us to look at something. Verse 30 is where we'll... Well, verse 29. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? So who has all these things? Who has woes? Who has... sorrow, contentions, babbling, just, you know, just blah, 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 just nonsense. Who hath wounds without cause? They're hurt and they don't even know why, okay? Who hath redness of eyes? Here's the answer. They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. God says, don't even look at alcohol. Don't even look at it. If you don't look at it, you can't get near it. If you don't look at it, you can't drink it. God says, don't even look at it. Why? Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. Verse 32, at the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. That's what it'll do to you. It's poison.
Amen.
It's poison. It'll bite you at the last. You think, I got control of this. Nope, it's going to bite you. At the last, it's going to bite you like a serpent, sting you like an adder. But we want to play around with it because we think, I've controlled it for all these years. I've been under control. But at the last, it's going to bite you like a serpent. That's sin in general.
Amen.
That is sin in general. I've got control of this thing. It's okay. It's not a big deal. I can handle this. No, it is a big deal. And no, you can't handle it. Better than you and better than me have fallen for less.
Amen.
Don't deceive yourself. There's people in here right now deceiving themselves, thinking they can control and handle their sin. I know it, because that's human nature. You think, no, I've got it. The pride within us says, I can handle this. I can take care of this. And you're a fool if you think that. You're a fool. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. The opposite of wisdom is foolishness. You're a fool if you think you can handle it. God says, hey, take heed lest ye also fall. You see a brother fall, you better take heed to yourself lest you also fall. You'll fall the same way, harder. See, you are not strong enough.
Amen.
I am not strong enough. This is why we separate ourselves from sin and from sinners. I'm going to reach them in the bar. You're an idiot. I'll just tell you right now, you're an idiot if you think that. You will not. They will reach you. The world evangelizes as well. I was just having a conversation yesterday that it's so easy to sin. It's easy to sin. It's not always easy to do right. Our natural tendency is we want to sin. So if we know that's the case, then why put ourselves in a situation where we're going to sin?
Right.
Why would we do that? This has nothing to do with anything. There you go, brother. That's something he needed. And I remembered it was right there. But why would we put ourselves in a situation where we can sin? Why would we do that? Because we think we're strong enough to handle it. But we're not. Jesus said, the Spirit indeed is willing. Oh, the Spirit wants to serve God. The Spirit wants to follow the Lord. But the flesh is weak. Your flesh is weak. So you better get yourself out of those situations. You better get yourself away from those people that are going to do you harm.
Amen.
Those people that don't follow God. Let's go to another spot here. I've got all kinds of spots I want us to go to. They're just coming to me. Go to Psalm chapter 1. This will help you right here. This can straighten out much of problems in your life. You just follow Psalm 1.
Amen.
Everybody, who in here wants to be blessed? Amen. Just a few of us? Not everybody? Amen. I want to be blessed, okay? I want a blessed life. All right, God's about to tell us how to have a blessed life. Here, and here's what he tells us. He says, come down and put your seed offering in the plate. Just come on, give your money. No, he doesn't say that. That's right. That's not what he says. Blessed is the man that does what? Walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. God says the blessed man doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Look at this. There's a progression that happens in verse 1 right here, if you'll pay attention to it. There's a progression. It starts off with walking. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So just the wicked lost people, I'm not going to listen to their counsel, but it says the blessed man doesn't walk in their counsel. I'm not going to walk with them and hear what they have to say. I'm not going to be around them so that they can influence me. I'm going to stay away from that. I'm not going to walk in their counsel. But look at the next statement, what it says. It goes from walking to what? Standing. To standing. See, I've been out before trying to share the gospel with somebody. And they were walking. I met them in a park, and I was just out evangelizing out in a park. And I met them out there, and I was just walking with them. I mean, and they were like doing the, you know, that fast walking. I'm like trying to keep up with them and walking with them. And then when you finally get them and they engage, what do? They'll stop. And they'll be standing. And this is what it says. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So once you start walking in the counsel of the ungodly, then what do? Nor standeth in the way of sinners. See, narrow is the way.
Amen.
And straight is the gate. See, there's a way God wants us on. And God says it's not in the way of sinners. But you go from walking in the counsel of the ungodly, then you start standing in the way of sinners. The way they do things, the places they go, the things that they partake of, you're going to then be standing there. Right there with them. You're like, oh, I won't do that. I know better than that. I'm strong. I can handle this. I would never do that. Not me. But we go to standing in the way of sinners. And then, what do you know? Once you get desensitized to it, say, this is no big deal. Look, I've done it a few times, and you know, lightning didn't fall down from heaven and kill me. You know, the devil didn't show up and stab me with his pitchfork. I'm okay. I've got this under control. Why don't I just sit down? These people aren't that bad. There's nothing wrong with them. My preacher lied to me. These are good people. They care about me. There's nothing wrong with them. Who do they think they are? Why are they judging me? How dare those Christians? Why? And it all started because you wanted to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. You're listening to the world. There's nothing wrong with that. Go ahead. Who's telling you that you can't do that? You're your own person. You don't have to listen to them. Who does that church think they are? Come to my church. They don't judge you.
Right.
And you're already judged. God already said it. It don't matter if someone tells you or not. Wicked cowards won't tell you the truth.
Amen.
So it just goes, I'm just going to sit with them. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So you want to be blessed? Don't do all that.
Amen.
Don't even start walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't listen to them. Stay away from them. Because once you start walking with them, you'll stand with the sinners, and then you'll be seated with the scornful, and you'll be one of them. Nearness is likeness. Mark it down. You start being around people, you'll be like them. I've worked with certain people. I got family. I'm like, I can't be around them. I'll start getting negative like they are. I don't want to. I don't want that rubbing off on me. I'm just going to stay away from it because it will affect me. And I want nothing to do with that. I don't want to be like that. But this is what happens when we don't follow what God says. So you want to be blessed? Then don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. You can stop right there. If you don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, you'll never stand in the way of sinners and you'll never sit with the scornful. So you want to be blessed, do that. What does the blessed man do? His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. I'm telling you, if you're meditating in the Word of God day and night, it'll start to reveal your sin to you and show you that this is wrong and you better get out of it. You'll start walking in the light. It'll show you, fix this. But see, we don't want to because we know already what we're doing is wrong. So I don't want to hear what God has to say about it. I better not ask Him. So many people will get counsel. I love when people come to me and they say, oh, I'm coming to you for counsel. But they're telling me what they're going to do. And in my head the whole time, I'm like, you're not coming for counsel. You want my approval for what you're going to do. That's why you're coming to me. And you want me to say it's okay with God. I won't do that. But that's what people do. They want, I'm going to come and hear what I want to hear. They don't want to hear what God actually has to say. Well, I prayed about it for about 3 seconds, you know, and I told God, if He didn't want me to do it, Lord, then, you know, to send a yellow truck with polka dots to run through my house, and I would know that He didn't want me to do it. Well, a yellow truck with polka dots didn't run through my house, so I knew God wanted me to do this. I mean, we make it so far out there that it's like, of course, God doesn't work like that. If you want your sin, He'll let you have it. God will let you have it. And you're going to face the consequences later. You will reap what you sow.
Amen.
So, oh, it's good right now. There's nothing wrong with what I'm doing. Till the consequences come. You know, till you are facing, you know, liver failure. Cirrhosis of the liver. Till you got some disease from shooting up. Some of you are like, I would never do that. Sure you wouldn't. Like, we can talk to some people in here that said, I'll never do that and did it. There's things I did. I said, I'll never do that. When I was lost, I said, I'll never do that and I did it. I won't do that until I got around it, until I started sitting with the scornful. I said, why not? They're doing it. They're all right. I can do it. I'll be all right. But some of you, even still, after I tell you all this, you're still not listening to me. You're still not hearing me. You're still not getting it. Some of you are intent on slamming your head into the brick wall 5 times and see if it doesn't start bleeding. You're like, I know that happened to him, but it won't happen to me because I know how to do it the right way. I'm telling you, that's how foolish the path that some of you are on, the path that some of you are choosing. And you might not even be outwardly on that path, but where's it at? Where are you on that path in? Oh, I'm right in here. Right in here, you're on that path, and nobody even knows it but you and God. But in here, you're saying, this is what I want. Get off of me. Don't tell me what to do. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. That's where we're at. And who are we following after? The serpent. The serpent. He was the one cast out of heaven for rebellion. It's as a sin of witchcraft. That's where we're at. See, the reason why we go into all this, the reason why we end up doing all of this and we take these steps and we think we're okay and it's not that big a deal is because we have a lack of something. It is a lack of biblical discernment. Discernment is the ability to tell the difference between right and wrong. Or I like how I think it was Charles Spurgeon said, the ability to tell the difference between right and almost right. Because we can make a lot of things seem almost right. I mean, I've almost stolen things before and made it almost right. Say, what? How'd you do that? Because I was at work. I worked at the airport, and they'd have contractors in there all the time. And one of them left a nice DeWalt drill, cordless drill, there. And they're gone. It's night. I was working swing shifts, so I'm there. It's like 11 o'clock at night. They're gone. They won't be back till the next day. And I'm a saved man, and here's what I'm telling myself in my head as I'm looking at this DeWalt drill. I said, well, somebody's going to get it. Why not me? As soon as somebody sees that, they'll take it home. So why not be me? And I was going up to grab it. And it's just like God said, hey, stupid, what are you doing? And I was like, you're right, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. And I walked away and I left. We can justify it.
That's right.
We can justify anything. Well, someone's going to get it. Why not me? Hey, someone's going to get those food stamp benefits. Why not me? Stop being a mooch on the system.
Amen.
Get a job. Get a job. I understand that sometimes there's a situation you have to be on it. Don't make that a lifestyle.
Right.
Don't make that a lifestyle to live off of others. There comes, especially I think for women, they get thrown in a situation, you know, they get pregnant by some loser and he just runs out on them and they're in the situation and they need that help for a bit. Okay, fine. No problem with that, but don't make it your lifestyle. I get it, you need help. But don't make it your lifestyle. But you see, we'll end up in a situation like that, and not always, I get there's different situations, but we'll end up in a situation like that where we're with some loser that runs out on us and leaves us with pregnant or whatever it is because we started walking in the counsel of the ungodly to begin with, because we didn't have any discernment to begin with.
Right.
Because we wanted to rebel against what people were telling us to begin with when they were saying, you shouldn't be with that person. You shouldn't do that. That's wrong. And we wanted to get mad about it and fight about it. And then here we are in a situation and now we're reaping the consequences of it. Whether it be a child, you say a child isn't a consequence. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Have your children. Fine. We all need to. God said, hey, be fruitful and multiply. Amen. I'm all for that. The right way.
Amen.
The right way. Do it the right way. That child comes along from sin, white man, love the child, raise the child, take care of the child. It's a gift from God. What? How, huh? Well, don't kill it.
Right.
I mean, raise the child, take care of the child, love that child. But that's not God's way. That's not the best way.
Right.
There's a better way. Do it God's way. And if that would be the best thing that could happen in a bad situation is that you get a child. What if you get an STD?
Right.
What about that? That you have for life? Anybody want to die of AIDS? HIV? Nobody in here? Some of you, that won't happen to me. Sure it won't.
Right.
That's what everyone with it says. It won't happen to me. As it eats their body up, kills them. They die of shriveled skeleton. That's what happens. That's how they die. They get a cold and their body can't fight the cold. And a cold is what kills them. Well, yeah. Because they don't have the antibodies or whatever it's called. I forget all that stuff. To fight it off. That's what happens. You're not going to tell me what I can and can't do. You're right. You're right. God can't even tell you. God can't tell you. You won't listen to God. So why would you listen to me? We're going to walk in the light. We want to be the blessed man. See, we need discernment. Go to Hebrews chapter 5, please. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And you know we talk about this a lot here, the doctrine of Christ, Hebrews chapter 6. But it says, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. So it's saying you should be teaching, but you can't, because you need to be taught again the first principles of the oracles of God. You can't handle meat. I want to give you meat, but you can only handle milk. Goes on to say, verse 13, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat, so this is the maturity. This is where God wants us. He wants us growing. He wants us mature. He wants us past the milk of the word. He wants us past and beyond the doctrine of Christ. That's why it's essential that we know and understand the doctrine of Christ so we can get on to meat. Okay? He says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. It's talking about maturity, okay? Spiritually, even those who by reason of use. See, you want discernment, you have to use what God is showing you. I'm telling you, when you stop obeying God, when God tells you, this is what I want you to do, this is the step I want you to take, when you stop obeying God, God shuts the lights off on you. You're done. He's done showing you anything. When you decide, I'm not going to obey God, God's done showing you stuff. Because He says, I'll give you discernment when you use what I've shown you. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So we say, why is there so much nonsense in churches today? How can you have churches, you know, having trying to make up, you know, transgender services for them, like a special ceremony, a transgender ceremony? You've got sodomites in the pulpit, bringing the rock band in, the devil's music. We're bringing it in and labeling it Christian. How is it all that can happen? Because these people don't have their senses exercised. They don't understand the milk of the word, the doctrine of Christ. So they can't go on unto meat. And they're not using what God's shown them. Therefore, they do not have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. They can't tell the difference. They see nothing wrong with it. It's so obvious to me when I look at it. I mean, I grew up in the world's music. I know every genre of music out there. I listen to all of it. All of it. And I know what all of it talks about. And I just having lived in that, I know there is nothing good, nothing godly about it. God said of His priests in the Old Testament days, He said that they had no discernment. They couldn't tell the difference between the holy and the profane. They put no difference between them. And that's what's going on today in churches. Why? Because there's no discernment. Because people aren't following the light God's given them. So they'll walk in darkness and they're going to stumble and they're not going to know, and they're going to do anything they can rather than just preach the gospel and let that bring people. They're going to try any method they can to win them. Because we got to get them in here. We got to do what we got to do. Rather than just trusting God and His word. Amen. We're going to use the flesh, the arm of the flesh to win people. Hey, if it brings them to Jesus, who cares? That's pragmatism. If it brings them to Jesus, who cares? Okay, so what's wrong with Christian pornography? If it brings them to Jesus, who cares? Hey, Friday nights we can start having, you know, Christian shoot up. Bring all the druggies in, they can shoot up. So we can win them to Jesus, right? Doesn't that make sense? I think that's backwards. What? How are we going to help people like that? You're right, we're not. But how long till all that stuff happens? They already have so-called Christian bars, Christian nightclubs. We were looking at that last week, right? Here in town, this is the Potter's House, Club 180. It's all dark, looks just like the world's. What? I thought we're children of light. I thought we walk in the light, not in the dark. Why would we want to model anything we're doing after a wicked, ungodly club? Why would we do that? Because there's no discernment. None. We better be willing to listen to what God's showing us so we can have discernment. We can tell the difference between right and almost right. Man, this is so close, but there's just something doesn't feel right about this. I can't put my finger on it. You better back off. You better just back off. If it just doesn't feel right, God's trying to show you something. You better just listen to that. You better follow that. See, the serpent's subtle. We looked at this last week. The worship of the serpent and deception by the devil is alive and well today. I mean, look at this picture. You got the serpent. It looks evil, just wicked. The death all around it. Again, you've got the lightning bolts coming down. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Why do you think that's intertwined with all of rock and roll? All of it. Why are they so satanic in everything they do? Why is it all bent on death and evil? Because the father of rock and roll is Satan. That includes rap as well. We can say country, amen, that's right. Because they talk about all the same wicked things too. They just have a twang in their voice. But they talk about all the same wicked stuff as well. I'm telling you, I've listened to all of it. Fornicating, drunkenness, drug abuse, all of it. Same thing the rappers talk about, same thing the rockers talk about. All of it's the same. Demeaning women. But what's this serpent wrapped around? He's got the halo of fire around his head because he's holy, right? Let me jump up ahead right here. We'll get back to this. I'll wait. It's all right. I'll wait. So he's got the halo of fire around his head. And then what's his body wrapped around? It's a skull, right? Wrapped around a skull showing that one eye. There's symbology in all of this. I'm not going to get into everything, but I'm just telling you, there it is. He's wrapped around a skull. Death. Pictures death. This is all godly, isn't it? Can't we have Christian heavy metal? Why not? We can have Christian soft rock is okay. Where they talk about fornicating and doing all this stuff with women, but it's just, put to just a lighter, softer tune. Proverbs 8:36, but he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. This is, Proverbs 8 is wisdom personified. It's, as you read through it, it's like it's talking about Jesus Christ. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me do what? Love death. All they that hate God love death. Looks like death, doesn't it? I don't care what they say. Your actions are speaking louder than your words.
Right.
I love Jesus. Then why are you associating with death? All they that hate me love death. Now either God's right or you're right. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the person that says, I love Jesus, while they want to go and be a part of all of this. Okay, I'll go with God every time. Rock and roll, Hard Rock Cafe, Miami. Look at that. You got the guitars with the flames on it. You've got these dragons. What do they look like? Serpents. There it is. There you see it right there. And they got flames coming out of them. Why is rock and roll and all this just evilness associated? Why are they always associated with flames? I'm telling you, the devil is telling you something. He is telling you something. He's putting it right out there for you to see, and people don't even want to recognize it. He knows they're going to hell. He knows what their end is. And he's showing them. And they won't accept it. This is what he's showing them. It just looks godly, doesn't it? Can we just take the name rock and roll? I've told you all this before. Do you know where the name came from? It's a term for fornication. In the 50s, the name rock and roll came up. It might have been the 40s. I believe it was in the 50s, though. Let's get in the back seat of my car and rock and roll. We're going to have that car rocking and rolling. It's talking about fornication. The name itself implies it. Well, that's godly. We can have Christian fornication, right? Christian fornication, right? Amen. That's in here, isn't it? Nope. Lyrics to the song Outcast. This is by Shinedown. I don't even know who this group is. I found this picture though, and I wanted to read the lyrics to it. Listen to it. I'm just feeding my appetite. I'm just feeding my appetite. What is that? Turn to Isaiah. Go to Isaiah 14, I believe. See, this is, when we get into stuff like this, this is where the rubber meets the road. All right, this is where the Bible should become real to us.
Right.
When we see things like this, this is, we're taking what the Bible says and we're applying it to our life today. See, and I'm just telling you, it's because of reasons like this why many people won't come to a church like this.
Right.
Because this happens, because most churches, and I'm not saying we're better than anyone or anything like that, but we try and stand by the book, but most churches don't do this.
Right.
They'll say, hey, stay away from sin, stay away from the serpent, stay away from the devil, he'll hurt you. Amen, that's true. But they won't tell you how. They won't get just right down where we live. They won't make it real. So he said, here's what it says in this song. I'm just feeding my appetite. I'm just feeding my appetite. Isaiah 14:12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? This is where Satan falls. Son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart. See, it was all in his heart. It wasn't even outward yet. But God sees his heart. Just like some in here may be rebellious right now while they're sitting here dressed the way they should be in church on a Sunday morning and doing everything just the way they should. And, oh, hey, brother, hey, sister, all that stuff in their heart is wicked and corrupt.
Right
here, sitting in a pew in a Baptist church. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. Get that, I will. Ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. The five I wills of Satan. God has something to say about that though, and it hasn't even happened yet. But be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You're thinking, I'm getting away with it. You know, nanny, nanny, boo, boo, God, I'm getting away with it. Verse 15, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms? He's not getting away with it. But what did he want? It's all about what I want. I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. And what do we got in these lyrics? I'm just feeding my appetite. It's about what I want. What I want. And so much of it, so much of our life, if we let our flesh reign, it's going to be, I'm just feeding my appetite. I'm just feeding my appetite. Parents, teach your children when they're young to deny themselves. You've got to teach them that when they're young. You'll make their life easier as an adult. You know how hard it is for you to tell yourself no? We're about to eat after the service. And I'm telling you, man, my wife made, we've never had them before. You all are lucky any of them made it here. I'm just telling you right now, okay? There's these little chicken cubes wrapped in bacon. I mean, man, she was cooking that this morning. It smelled so good. And I'm looking at that, and I'm telling you, I could eat all of them. All of them. I'm like, this is all it made? She's like, I didn't know we needed more bacon. So I'm like, this wasn't enough. I'm like, this whole thing should be filled up. But that was all the bacon we had. So that's all we made. So you better get in there quick because I'm telling you, they're going to be gone. But you try and tell yourself, I'm just going to have one. All right? Just tell you, I'm just going to have one. I'm just going to have a bite of one. Yeah, right. Because our appetite says, nah, I want more. I need more. Now, there's nothing wrong with an appetite. God gave it to us. There are certain things we need. We need food. We need those things. We need water. You get thirsty. I need something to drink. But we don't need, you know, like a 12-pack of Coke, like all in one at once. You know what I mean? We don't need that. Our appetite will just take over for us. So we better get our appetites in check. And we better teach our young children to get their appetites in check. Tell them no, that's enough. Tell them no. Just so they know that you can't always have everything you want, because life is going to happen one day and they're not going to be able to get everything that they want. Start teaching them right now. I'm just feeding my appetite. That's what Satan did. Here the lyrics go on to say, don't you know I broke the mold? Like a hammer to a landmine, I broke the mold. What's that saying? I'm stepping out of what the Bible says I need to be, and I'm going to break that mold. I don't want to be nothing like that. I'm done with that. Rebellion. 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 That's all it is. It's rebellion to the Word of God. Are you in here right now rebellious to the Word of God? Rebellious to what God says you ought to be doing? And nobody knows it. But you know it in your heart. And God knows it. And God's trying to tell you right now, fix that. You young people, mostly for you, it's going to be, are you in obedience to your parents? Are you in obedience to your parents? That's what it's going to come down to. Well, show me in the Bible where it says that. Good. Turn to Exodus chapter 20. Let's look at the Ten Commandments.
Right.
Children, honor thy father and mother. Ephesians, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. They're not telling you to sin. Zip your lip and do what they tell you. Well, my friends, this, I don't care what your friends are doing. I don't care. They're not my child. I care what you're doing. And no, you can't go there. No, you can't do that. No, you can't be with that person. I mean, I've ended my own children. I've ended their friendships before. I said, you can't be with that. You can't hang out with them anymore. How dare you do that? No, we're supposed to do that.
Amen.
We're supposed to do that. When I see them affecting my children negatively, we better. It's our responsibility. We'll answer to God for it. This is why our family has chosen to start homeschooling. Because of the negative influences, I don't want my children around. And they went to a Christian school. They've gone to a Christian school all their life. 10 times fold more for a public school. 100 times fold more for a public school. And I'm not picking on anyone. I'm not mad at anybody. You do what you want for your family. I'm just telling you, I would not have my children in a public school.
Amen.
I wouldn't. And I get it. Everyone's in different circumstances, different situations. I'm not mad at you. But let's learn from this and not continue it.
Right.
Not let the next one go through it. Just because, look, because some get through it. I got through public school. You know, it was easier for me in public school to get drugs than it was when I got out. I could get drugs when I was in high school easier than when I got out. Why? Because I was there with them all the time. And we were always talking. It was easy in high school. Anything I wanted. You just start talking to people. Hey, where can I get this? Oh, go talk to this guy. All right. Boom, there I am. Go and talk to this guy. It was easy. And we're sending our children in there. Go be a missionary. They're not even ready to be a missionary.
Right.
They're not ready. It's not their job to go be a missionary at school. We have to teach them. They don't know what's right and wrong really yet. We're the ones that guide them. Get them out of the landmine. See, we want to send our kids off into that stuff. It's just like, hey, pretend this field here is loaded with landmines. Hey, go play in the field over there. You'll be all right. Just be careful if you hear a, you know, if you hear a, just stay there till all the other kids get away from you. And then you can move. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. They have landmines. You can hear it click and it won't go off till you pick your foot up and then it blows up and you're dead. That'd be fun, wouldn't it? No. But that's what we do with our children. And again, I'm not picking on anybody. I'm not mad at anybody. I tell you this stuff because I love you, because I want to help you. That's why I say these things.
Amen.
So I can help our children that are coming up when they have kids. Don't do the same mistakes we made. Don't go down the same foolish path we have gone down. Don't do it. Learn from our mistakes. Learn from our stupidity. Please learn from it. Don't you know I broke the mold? Rebellion. Children, submit to your parents in everything. Whatever they say. Don't argue and fight with them about it. If they tell you, hey, I don't want you going there. Don't do that. That's just my kids do that, I know. They're the only ones that leak. You know? Kids, your parents do it because they love you. They love you more than your friends do.
Amen.
I guarantee that. They love you more than that boy or girl does. I guarantee you that. I guarantee it. You listen. You listen. If you got multiple people telling you you don't need to hang out with that person, why don't you listen up? Why don't you listen up and stop trying to break out of the mold? This song, like all rock and roll, shouts rebellion to God and all authority. Rebellion is the serpent's theme. I'm not going to get into this. We'll do it next week. All right. Let's stop there.